Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Verse 7. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each in our own language in which we were born, Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs? We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" Others mocking said, "They are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all those who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel," verse 17. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Verse 22. "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourself also know. Him, being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David says concerning him, 'I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence.'" Verse 29. "Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his body according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool.'" 36. "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are far off, as many as our Lord will call." And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all, as anyone had need. Verse 46. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. It's now time for the sermon. The topic of today's sermon is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And we welcome our sister, Auntie Dada Lamutu, to share the word for the next 30 minutes. We look forward, as we listen to her, to learning more about this aspect of our quarter's theme, which is the foundation of the Christian faith. Thank you.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this privilege to come before your throne of grace and mercy, to worship together, knowing, Lord, that you are in our midst. Father, we are grateful. Lord, we open our hearts to you, and we say, Lord, speak to us. Holy Spirit, teach us, guide us, counsel us. Open our hearts to listen to you, for all that you have to say to us, individually, as a group, as a church, we receive in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. I commit myself to you. And I just pray, Lord, that I will only be a tool, that Jesus will be lifted up and men will be drawn unto him. This is our heart's desire, O God. We pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Happy Mother's Day to my sisters in the house. We thank God. It's another Mothering Sunday, as it's called in the UK Anglican system. We know we have another Mother's Day in June. We thank God for the many, 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 many blessings we have received since we started this series, The Foundation of Our Faith. Foundation is the strength of a building. It carries the weight of the building. It protects the building from storms, floods. It keeps it standing. Oftentimes it is hidden. In this building, we can see the walls, the windows, the roof, but the foundation is not seen. And we know that in our lives as Christians, the foundation that holds us, the foundation that keeps us going, is not sin. And many songs that we sing, the church's one foundation is who? Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus, you are my firm foundation. I know I can stand secure. So we thank God for all that we have been learning under the theme, the foundation of our Christian faith. This morning, we are looking at manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Growing up in an Anglican church, there are three occasions, maybe four, we talk about the Spirit. Usually when the preacher finishes preaching, he says, "Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit." And we will respond, "As it was in the beginning, it's now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen." The next time we say anything about the Holy Spirit is when we read the Nicene Creed, that he was conceived by the Holy Ghost. The other time we talk about Holy Spirit is when we say the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And other times, which is occasional, is when baptism takes place. when the priest will declare, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So you find that in the Orthodox churches, the Holy Spirit is not someone we talk about regularly. He's part of our service. And then in 1971-72, Maurice Cerullo, an American evangelist, came to Nigeria and he talked about Holy Spirit every moment, insisted everybody had to speak in tongues. I was in A-level at the time. I was 18. And it became so confusing. People were scared because at that time they would try and shake you. They would open your mouth, speak. So it was very scary. And so you find that over the years, between the Orthodox and the Pentecostal, there are so many of us in that middle wanting to play safe, not wanting to, you know, shake our lives, not wanting to know. And this is a very sad situation because Jesus said he will send us a helper to teach us, to guide us. So this morning we're going to look at pre-Pentecost day, before the Pentecost day. We will look at the day of Pentecost and we'll look at post-Pentecost day. Who is the Holy Spirit in the Bible? He is the third person of the Trinity. He is God. He's a person, not causing it. Because oftentimes I hear people say it, and I'm like, can't be the Holy Spirit. He's a person. He's not a myth. He can be gripped. He can be quenched. He can be resisted. He can be insulted. He can teach, counsel, witness, search our hearts. He can love. He prays. He has a mind. And he can be tested. You remember we are told in 1 John 4:1, test every spirit. It's not everyone that says, oh, I'm doing this by the Holy Spirit, I'm doing that. We've been asked, test every spirit. Jesus told us in John 14:26, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. He was present at creation, Genesis 1:1-2, the very first verse of the Bible. It says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Right at the beginning of the Bible, verse 1 and 2. Also, the Spirit of God lived in Moses, Numbers 11:16-17, enabling him to play that leadership role that was crucial when the children of Israel had to leave Egypt. David also, in 2 Samuel 23:2, said to this, the Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and his word was upon my tongue. Prophets Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, they spoke about the Holy Spirit. I'll just mention the passages because of time, I can't read it. Ezekiel 2:2-3, Ezekiel 37:14, Micah 3:8, Joel 2:28-29, which was read as part of our passage. Also in the Bible, we find that God gives people, fills them with the Holy Spirit, and enables them to do special tasks. Like we have Bezalel and Aholiab. They were filled with God's Spirit to design and craft the tabernacle. Exodus 31:24. So, in Isaiah, we see there was prophecy that Jesus will be the true King of Israel and will be filled with the Spirit. John the Baptist also said that Jesus will baptize by the Spirit and with fire. Jesus in Luke 4:21 confirmed that the scripture was fulfilled, which was in Isaiah 61:1-2. It was being fulfilled, as he said in Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. So we see that the Spirit of God, right at the beginning of creation and all through the Old Testament, and even in the Gospel, we have been told that the Spirit of the Lord falls on people, fills people, and even Jesus himself testified that he was filled. Why I'm spending time to say this is, for many of us, it's still very distant. It's not something we love to think about or to talk about. But I'm just appealing to us this morning. He's our helper. We need him. Just as we come to faith through his conviction, to grow in Christ, to continue to fulfill the purpose of God in our lives, we have to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. We have to be filled with him. We have to talk through him to God. We have to allow him to enable us and empower us to manifest all that Jesus told us that he will do in our lives. So I hope that going forward today, as next Sunday, the sermon series is going to be the role of the Holy Spirit. So I thank the pastoral affairs and the council that they are enabling us, making us look at this need. It's not an option. Jesus gave a command to them in Acts chapter 1 verse 4. They should wait because they will be filled with the Holy Spirit. So it wasn't optional. And I just want to read one of the passages where Jesus spoke extensively. And he says, the Holy Spirit, being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And Jesus promised in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. We have seen the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in people's lives. And then we now come to the day of Pentecost, where in obedience to Jesus' command for them to wait in Jerusalem, they were waiting. 50 days after the Feast of First Fruits, 10 days after Jesus ascended, 120 disciples, as recorded in Acts chapter 1 verse 15, they were all gathered together in one accord, in one place. That's what the Bible says. And then suddenly, a sound from heaven, rushing mighty wind, filled the house. Tongues of fire appeared, and one set upon each person. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. These were the manifestations, the physical manifestations. They spoke with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Who were the people in the crowd? Our sister read all the names for us. Jerusalem, Jews, devout men, people from every nation under heaven. Everyone heard them speaking their own language. I know some people will say in this church that Sister Dada speaks so many languages. And the truth is, I've always asked myself, how did you learn it? And truly, I can't explain. I speak Hausa, Yoruba, Igbo, Nupe, Ibira. I understand a bit of the other dialects around us in Lokoja there. But I know that to now come and hear, for instance, in this church, we have Igbos, Yoruba, Hausa, Ijo, Ishekiri, Ibira, Igala, Hausa, and we just hear 120 people speaking. There was no disorderliness, and everybody could hear what was being said. That in itself is a miracle and a wonder. Because in the Tower of Babel, what happened? They all had one language, and they thought, we can go to God. We can now become like him. And God put confusion in their midst. And this is like a reversal of what happened in the Tower of Babel. Everyone heard them speaking their language. Remember, you shall receive power. And you be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the world. But on Pentecost Day, everybody came from the ends of the world, from Samaria, from Judea to Jerusalem. Not only did they all come like that, but everybody heard the gospel. So it's clear that the priority issue in us being filled with the Holy Spirit is to witness, to share the good news, to point men to God, to point men through Jesus Christ to know the Lord. They were not talking about themselves, and they were not speaking things that the people could not understand. Everybody heard the gospel. The 120. And then we now see Peter. We all remember Peter. He denied Jesus Christ how many times? 3 times. Not with big people, with people who are not, they were not the king, they were not the emperor, they were not the soldiers, just asking him, you know this man. But here we are on the day of Pentecost. Peter stood up. The Bible says he stood up and raised his voice. Something has transformed him. He has been filled with the Spirit. And he now told them. He quoted prophet Joel. He says, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. We have read it in verses 17 to 21. And he ended by saying, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus was sent by God to save us. But he was crucified. This Jesus, God raised up, and now God poured the Holy Spirit. Just think about it. 3 persons in one God. God the Father. We sinned. We decided to go our own way. He sent his Son. What did we do? We crucified him and hung him on the cross. But God, because his mercy cannot be explained or understood, now sent the 3rd person to the same group of people, because God is always reaching out to you and me. And the choice is ours. Are we responding? We saw how the apostles responded. We saw how the crowd first were amazed, they were perplexed, they marveled, and they concluded they must be drunk. And so Peter explained to them, it's 9 a.m. in the morning, they cannot be drunk. And went to show them that the person they killed actually is the same person they need to be saved. It's the same person that will redeem them and reconcile them to God. And so we see in verse 37 that they were caught to the heart. They were convicted by the Holy Spirit. In the Women's Bible Study, on Monday the 27th, a sister shared something that has stayed with me, and I just want to quickly read what she said. She says, we need the constant help of the Holy Spirit in salvation. He brings conviction to the unbeliever and causes him or her to see the truth of the gospel in clear light. The Holy Spirit generates deeper conviction and sincere repentance and righteousness. The Holy Spirit convicts the world concerning sin, becoming servants of God, concerning righteousness, and concerning judgment to have everlasting life. So, the Holy Spirit is involved in our salvation from the beginning, in the conviction of sin to the glorification of the believer. Without the Holy Spirit, an unsaved person cannot repent, cannot be redeemed, and cannot be sanctified. Therefore, the Holy Spirit helps Christians follow the teachings of God, that is the Word. The Holy Spirit draws us to Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. No one can be a true Christian without the Holy Spirit, Romans 8:8. Being ready for the coming of Jesus Christ is to be constantly, permanently filled with the Holy Spirit. It is possible to be in close contact with Jesus and not be saved. Judas Iscariot, not everyone, says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. It is the Spirit that gives life. You may wish to read, So we are dead in our sins without the Spirit. This is the reason why the Holy Spirit should not be distant from us. Those who mocked at first, what happened later? When they heard the word of God, they were caught to the heart. And they asked, "What shall we do?" And Peter replied, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the Holy Spirit. The promise is to everyone." So salvation and indwelling of the Spirit happens to everyone who believes in Jesus Christ. We are filled with God's presence. We are filled with God's power. Peter, who was timid, fearful, became bold and courageous. The prophecy that Jesus gave, that was given in the Old Testament, and the promises that Jesus made, they were all fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. Jesus continues to call us to come. And we saw that going further, they gladly received the word of God. They were baptized, 3,000 souls. That's like 2,000% increase from 120 disciples. At Pentecost, Peter was given the word. He had every detail, just because the Holy Spirit reminded him. The Spirit without the word may blow us up, but the Spirit with the word will grow us up. History has not been the same ever since Pentecost. And God the Father, who is in control of all history, is calling us today to be filled. To start by being born again and to grow by the power of the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, the greatest manifestation of the Holy Spirit is conviction of sin that generates godly sorrow that leads to repentance. Trusting Jesus to forgive and cleanse us, making him our Lord, allows the Holy Spirit to indwell us, to grow us, and to use us to glorify God. After the day of Pentecost, we will look at that quickly and we conclude. They continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread, in prayers. Many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. They were invited to come together. They were united by the Spirit. They had a common goal, becoming more like Jesus, learning more of the what to believe and how to behave. They had power to witness. They were guided into all truths. They were brought closer as believers. The Holy Spirit was not just for the first century Christians. We are also called to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And if I may ask, the individual responded, Peter did. The group, like a fellowship group, 120. The church, the 3,000. Let me ask, where are you in all of this story? As an individual, where do you stand in Christ? As a member of VFC, what's your response? Church is not a building, it's a group of people bound together by God's love through Jesus Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Why don't we proclaim the gospel? Too busy? Too shy? Too afraid? Are you a spectator in church? Or are you part of the learning, loving, worship, and evangelism community? Our mission statement says to bring men to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and through them make Christ known to the unsaved. That's the purpose we are pursuing. Are you part of it? Are you scared that you will lose control if you allow the Holy Spirit to fill you? One of the fruits of the Spirit, which we are assured, is self-control. The Holy Spirit also gives us different gifts. And we pray that in this church, that the Lord will help us to begin to to truly allow the Holy Spirit to move in our midst. Just some moments back, the chairman said, oh, next Sunday, nominations will stop. And I've always wondered, why do we have to cajole, beg people to take positions? Why? Year in, year out. And on this pulpit, we have seen the Holy Spirit give us undiluted word. We have seen God answer prayers. We have seen God heal us. We have seen God meet our needs. But when it comes to serving, it becomes, oh, I don't think I'm good enough. None of us is good enough. It's only by the power of the Holy Spirit in each one of us that we can do all that He wants us to do. And the gifts that He has put in each one of us, what are we doing with it? Oh, only to be used in my secular work, to excel, to become the best in the office? Hey. Rico Tice, one of the priests in Also's church, said failure is to succeed. It's when you have success in things that don't matter. I can become president. I can become GMD. I can become whatever. But at the end of time, when the day of the Lord comes for me, or when Jesus comes eventually, the question will be, what did I do with Jesus Christ? What did I do with the gifts, the talents that he entrusted me with? Did I depend on the Holy Spirit, or I was struggling? Oftentimes we fall into temptation, not because we should, but because we thought we can face the devil with our chest. And it doesn't work like that. It's only by the power of the Holy Spirit, using the word of God, that we overcome Satan. So brothers and sisters, as we pray together, as we come to Jesus, to put our trust in Him, if we haven't done that, that's the first step. What are you hearing in your deeper self, in your heart? Have you made that decision? Or you are still relying on, I was born a Christian, I've always been going to church forever? Each person must make that decision. Secondly, you have made that decision, but you and I know that your growth is either slow, stalled, it's not as it should be. Let us come to God this morning and ask. Maybe you are longing to be filled, to be transformed, to live for Jesus. But then you have this fear that all these people that are rolling all this. As you saw in our passage, 120 were filled, they had the tongues, the spoken tongues. When the 3,000 were filled, we don't have anything that other than they were filled and they wanted to do all to please God, and they were united in the Spirit. We were not told they spoke in tongues. So maybe that's your fear, that you will lose control. But I can assure you, one of the manifestations of the Spirit is that the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, He will give to us. So, this morning, I thank the Lord for the manifestation right from creation through the Old Testament. I thank God for His prophecies because they will be fulfilled. I thank God for His promises. He's faithful. He watches over His word. And I thank God that He gives us the opportunity to allow Him to manifest in our lives. Peter was an individual. The 120, they were a fellowship. But then the 3,000, they were more than a church. I just want to pause for a moment and allow us to just ask ourselves some very pertinent questions. What is God asking you to do this morning? There's nothing like JJ Christianity. The Bible says you are either on God's side or you are not. And it's not something to struggle to do by yourself. It's not possible. It's only by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, we need you. Come, sweet Spirit, we pray. Come in your strength and your power. Come in your own special way. Come, Holy Spirit, we need you. Come, sweet Spirit, we pray. Come in your strength and your power. Our Father and our God, here we are, Lord. You know each one of us by name. Thank you, Father. You gave the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, to lead us into all truth. As you helped the apostles on the day of Pentecost, help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Every misunderstanding, every confusion, every fear, every concern that we have, that yes, we know about him, we talk about him, but Lord, we have not allowed him. Because we say, it's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. He lives in us by his Spirit. Help us, Father, to yield to you this morning. Fill us afresh, O God. Touch us, O God. Reveal to each person what you want them to do at this time. We pray particularly for those who are yet to give their lives to you, that, Lord, they will no longer be on the fence, but give their lives to you. And we pray for all of us who have made that confession that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, that indeed we'll be filled with the Holy Spirit and we'll be transformed. We will have better understanding. We sang the songs that declared that you have done it for us. We declare that you've made a way. And so, Lord, give us victory over all the things that hold us down in the name of Jesus. As today is Mothering Sunday, we especially want to pray for mothers, women amongst us, who are still trusting you and looking up to you. Holy Spirit, you are there at creation. You have answered prayers of many of us. You have done the miracle of motherhood. And this morning we unite our hearts and especially pray for our sisters, who are trusting, who are looking, who are waiting, that today, Father, you will answer their prayers and you will do a miracle and we will all come and testify. Thank you, Heavenly Father. To you be glory, to you be praise, to you be adoration. Thank you, Lord, that when you give us the Holy Spirit, primarily is to glorify you. Secondly, the priority is to share the gospel. Empower us afresh, Lord. This week, Lord, let us make it a point to share your good news with one person at least, so that we can be on the road to fulfilling all that you have promised for us. This we ask with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.